16 minutes away from 4 o'clock, it's Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Glad to have you along for the ride tonight. Andy Bullbarch, Matt Douglas, we're with you until 6. We had Blue Jackets hockey all set to rock and roll, and boy, oh boy, a rough night last night for the Jackets as they fell to the Detroit Red Wings. We have Blue Jackets hockey for you after the Cavaliers tomorrow. They're out on the West Coast taking on the San Jose Sharks. Again, 10:15. We will be on the air with the Columbus Blue Jackets. Ryan Mitchell is the voice you will hear. And, well, speaking of Ryan Mitchell, he's joining us right now on the hotline. And before we get going with the questions here, my friend, a belated happy 25th birthday to you. How are you?
Thank you very much. I've been celebrating that birthday for a lot of years now. That number 25 was good to me, so I decided to stick with it.
Hey, you can always relive these moments, right? You're only as old as you feel. So
yeah, then I'm a lot older than I actually am.
Understood. Well, boy, I tell you what, very tough loss last night. Jackets fell 5-3 to the Red Wings, and it wasn't necessarily the way that they finished. It was more so the way that they started falling behind 3-0 in the opening period. What was it that caused that slow start?
Well, it's similar to what's happened a lot of this year so far. You look at both goaltenders for the Blue Jackets, and it was the first time that Jonas Korpisalo had gotten a third straight start. There was a little bit made of that before the game with, obviously, Sergei Bobrovsky. John Tortorella keeps saying he is unquestionably the number one goaltender for this team, but we need to find out what we've got in Jonas Korpisalo due to the contract situation. Well, Korpi got in net, and it did not go well. He gave up 3 goals in the first 7 shots. It should be noted for those that didn't see the game, all 3 of those goals came on grade-A scoring chances. But you would like your goaltender to be able to stop one of them, maybe 2 of them. There was one on the power play where the Red Wings made 2 perfect passes to set it up right in front of the net for a score. Then there was a 2-on-1 situation where the defender couldn't break up the pass. You know, in that situation on a 2-on-1, the defenseman tries to take away the pass. The goalie takes the man with the puck, take the shooter. The Jackets have struggled with that this year, breaking up those passes coming across and really putting either goaltender in a really bad position. That happened last night, and then there was a breakaway. Dylan Larkin is a very, very good hockey player, and he was able to beat Korpisalo on a breakaway to make it 3-0. And right after that, they got Korpisalo out of the net, put Bobrovsky in it, and Bob didn't give up any goals through the rest of that period or in the second period until after the Jackets had come back to tie it. But there were a couple of occasions where the Red Wings really missed a golden chance to score to really blow the thing open. But basically, what happened yesterday is the same thing that has happened to the Jackets repeatedly so far this year, that they have, on several occasions, sort of hung the goaltender out to dry and given up really good scoring chances that the opposition has been able to capitalize upon. The Jackets' problem has not been scoring goals. They're 9th in the league in that category, but they give up more than almost anybody. They are 4th from the bottom in terms of goals allowed this year.
Ryan, you're around. I mean, you're hearing from people a little bit more, but it seems like the Jackets have had that issue in the past, but Bob has always been their saving grace. He's been that guy in between the pipes who comes up with the amazing kick saves on 2-on-0 situations and things of that nature. Does it seem like there's a lot more of that happening? Is that what the coaching staff is kind of looking at too?
Well, I think the coaching staff has been more vocal in the media about the breakdowns defensively in front of the goaltenders, and I'm sure in the private meetings they're talking about that. They're watching the film. They're going over the breakdowns that are happening and trying to find ways to solve it. One of the big issues was missing Seth Jones for the first few weeks of the season. He's one of the premier defensemen in the National Hockey League, and I'm talking about all around. He can score, certainly. Last year he was, along with Zach Werenski, rewriting the record books in terms of goals in a single season by a Blue Jackets defenseman. But also defensively, he skates with such grace and power. He reminds me on ice a little bit of Michael Brantley in the outfield. He gets to places in a very, begat the nickname Dr. Smooth. He just gets to the spot. You know, and it doesn't look like he's skating hard in the terms of Seth Jones. He just gets there. He does have good wheels. He's long. He's got long arms. He can cover a lot of ground. And when he's out of there, you've got a lesser defenseman in there. And that's no disrespect to anybody else, but we're talking about one of the best defensemen in the National Hockey League. So you're going to have a natural drop-off. He's still trying to get his timing back, knock all the rust off as he gets back in there, and that certainly will help. But, yeah, they definitely know what's going on. Listen, these are smart hockey people that are running this team and coaching this team. They know exactly what the problem is. It's not always as easy as just knowing what it is to fix the problem. But hopefully, as everybody starts to get their legs underneath of them, the pairs match up a little bit better, they will be able to eliminate some of those mistakes. And, you know, listen, Sergei Bobrovsky is going to start the lion's share of the games at net, I would guess, going forward. And we are going to see Bob make some of those spectacular saves because that's who he is. There's no doubt about that. He's struggled this year, and I don't know. Listen, I'm not inside his head. I don't know how much the contract situation is weighing on him. The new goalie equipment is something he's talked about as definitely being something he notices. So that's something he's just going to have to deal with as we go along. But between he and Jonas Korpisalo, you know, we've said this several times, they've made a million great saves, but it's the saves you don't make that wind up costing your team, and they're just going to have to make more of those.
Ryan, another guy who's been missing from the Jackets lineup for quite some time here is Brandon Dubinsky, who started the season off very small sample size with two games, but in a big way, scoring goals and getting points. How big a loss has he been to that locker room? Because he's always been a John Tortorella kind of guy, a guy who's been in that system and understands how he works. And to lose that leadership, in my opinion, it seems like that's part of the inconsistency here with the Blue Jackets.
It may well be. Doobie's an interesting situation because last year he had such a fall off in production and role, really, on this team, that you wondered what was going to happen going forward. And over the offseason, he just rededicated himself. He recreated his body, essentially. His training regimen has been well-documented. He came into camp in great shape. He was ready to go. He had a refreshed mindset. He's a very proud guy with a chip on his shoulder, wanted to reprove himself as somebody who is really worth the money he's making and worthy of a spot in the leadership group on this team. And the first two games, as you said, things looked very, very good. And then that unfortunate injury happened. And it's one of those soft tissue injuries that you're never sure how long it's going to take, if there would be a reoccurrence, whether it's during the rehab process or once he gets back out there. You know, baseball, football players, basketball players, you think about like the hamstrings a lot, where you think of Ken Griffey Jr., a hamstring injury essentially undid his career because it just kept reoccurring and never healed quite properly. Hopefully that's not going to be the case for Doobie. He's traveling with the team on this upcoming road trip out to San Jose and L.A. and Anaheim. Just him being around, I'm sure, is a lift for this team, and if he can get back in there and play, if he plays the way he was at the beginning of the season, you mentioned it's a minuscule sample size, but that can only help the Blue Jackets both on the ice and in the dressing room because he is an accountability guy.
Speaking with Ryan Mitchell of the Columbus Blue Jackets Radio Network, you mentioned that road trip they're about to embark on, San Jose coming up Thursday over the weekend. They'll get Los Angeles and Anaheim, too. How important is it for the Blue Jackets to go out and get some points? Because you've got to beat up L.A. team in there. San Jose and Anaheim have been tough because, well, they usually are. But what are we looking at here on the weekend?
Well, L.A. has stunk it up this year, and Jonathan Quick is now down with injury. They're 3-7-1. They've got the worst record in the Pacific Division, and they are tied for the fewest points in the National Hockey League. But that's on paper. Because remember, that Red Wings team came in to Nationwide Arena yesterday and just had a blitzkrieg in that first period and undid the Jackets. They had what seemed to be a bad loss against Arizona on home ice. Now the Coyotes have rattled off four straight wins in a row, and they're now over 500, so it doesn't look quite as bad. Don't write off the L.A. Kings. They're a proud team. They're a heavy team. They play very physical. This has been a rough trip for the Jackets. When you talk about going out to California, they've had only one winning trip since the 2011-2012 season, and that came 3 years ago when they went 2-1. So it is a difficult trip. It's one where you certainly want to get some points. San Jose is first in the Pacific Division, and Anaheim is not near the top of the rankings, but they're so early in the season that it doesn't matter much. Those are quality teams. So because of the points the Jackets have given away on home ice, they've been really good away from Nationwide, but they haven't been great in terms of results at home. You give away those points, you got to make them up somewhere. And this is as good a place as any, both because of the bank you're trying to build up, but also you're trying to kill that negative mojo that came from that Detroit game. now you get out on a, this is their first lengthy road trip. You get out with the boys, you're able to kind of coalesce as a team a little bit, maybe build some camaraderie. Hopefully that happens for the Blue Jackets, and they can have better sailing moving forward.
See, I kind of feel like that's an underrated aspect of just about any sport. People have this negative thought when it comes to going out on the road, how difficult that must be. But you're right. There's something to be said for sometimes getting away from what we deem as comfortability playing at home. As you said, Ryan, you're hanging out with the boys. You're spending some more time with these guys. You're a little more isolated because when you're out on the road, you're living in more of a bubble, whereas at home, guys kind of separate, they go their own separate direction, but when you're on the road, you have really no choice but to sit in that same plane, bus, hotel, whatever it is with these guys. It's more of a bonding opportunity to kind of get to know these guys, endure the struggles together. So I think it's fascinating you bring that up, just because people look at going on the road as such a negative thing, but it really isn't. Sometimes it gives you an opportunity to kind of right the ship together.
Absolutely, it does. And home field advantage exists for a reason, because you have familiarity with your building, the floor, the ice, the stadium, whatever the case may be. But in these terms, in trying to build a team, there are far fewer distractions when you're away from home. As you said, you're spending your time mostly together, whether it's at the hotel or on the plane or at the arena. And, you know, these are pretty good accommodations for these guys. So it's not like they're roughing it out there. Certainly there are no campfires and hobo stew. This is the National Hockey League. These guys are in pretty good shape. And the other thing is, this is a group that should be very familiar with one another, because there was not much turnover from last year. So it's an opportunity, not so much to get to know you, but everybody get on the same page and everybody, kind of come together and pull the rope in the same direction. So it's an opportunity, if you want to look at it that way, for the Blue Jackets to build their team concept when they have a couple of practices out there, to really refine some things. And, you know, hopefully you do get Brandon Dubinsky back and healthy, and then you've got everybody going at once. That would really be the last guy they have on injured reserve. And it should be a chance for the Blue Jackets to build something in terms of camaraderie and momentum. And they've actually got a lot of road games coming up. They were in a stretch of 5 of 6 at home. They've got 6 of their next 9 games now coming up on the road, and they're going to have a lot of opportunity to try and get everybody on the same page.
And Ryan, I wanted to ask you kind of lastly here about Anthony Duclair. He was a guy who you might have considered on his last leg, drafted by the New York Rangers, sent over to the Arizona Coyotes. They traded him to Chicago, signed the 1-year deal with the Blue Jackets this year, but has been playing well, 6 points through the first 11 games, I believe it is, here in this season. Has he been a bit of a surprise for those who have kind of followed him?
I don't know if surprise would be the right word, because the talent has always been there. That's never been denied around the National Hockey League. But you're right. Came up with the Rangers, spent 2+ seasons with Arizona, then with Chicago last year. Actually, Arizona and Chicago last year. Mm-hmm. Was he on his last chance with the Blue Jackets? Maybe. Who knows? He signed essentially for the league minimum. And so anything you get out of him in terms of production is almost a bonus for the Blue Jackets. But you hear John Tortorella talk about him, and he really seems to get Anthony Duclair, and he really seems to be invested in the outcome of Duclair's growth. Now, what does that mean? I guess let's see how the season goes. If it goes really, really well, then you've got kind of a Sam Gagner situation, where Gagner played very well for the Blue Jackets on a low-rate 1-year deal and then signed a fairly large contract somewhere else. Now, Gagner was put back in the minors this year because it didn't work out in Vancouver. But if you really succeed as Anthony Duclair, you've reestablished your value. Now maybe you can sign a better contract wherever that may be. Maybe it's with the Jackets. Maybe it's somewhere else. If it doesn't work out, if he has had his flash in the pan for the year, so to say, with that tremendous highlight goal that's been all over, well, you haven't lost much because you didn't invest much in him, and you have some other players that can fill in. Basically, you hope that Anthony Duclair is able to utilize the coaching here, and he's been on the power play, utilize those around him to realize his potential, because if that happens, he's a very exciting player. He has really good hands, skates with speed. He can change a game, which we have seen so far, but no team has seen that happen with Duclair wearing their sweater over the course of an entire season. So really, that's kind of the next step for him.
Again, you can hear the Blue Jackets here on AM 930 WEOL tomorrow. Ryan Mitchell will have you ready to rock and roll at 10:15 tomorrow night with the pregame coverage. They'll drop the puck at 10:30. Well, my friend, this interview officially 14 minutes longer than John Tortorella's press conference last night. So.
Yeah, that was one of those situations where if you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all. I'm sure he said it in after watching the film with the boys. And I think Torts used a lot of wisdom last night, keeping his answers very short, keeping himself as calm as he could, because he didn't want to say something he would regret.
Understood. Well, Ryan, a pleasure as always, my friend. We always appreciate the time, and we look forward to hearing you tomorrow at 10:15.
All right, fellas. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Again, Ryan Mitchell with the Columbus Blue Jackets Radio Network joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. We're late for a break, so we'll take one now. Matt Douglas will update us from the local newsroom here in just a moment, and then we'll come back to talk with Jim Jones of the Cleveland Cavaliers. And, oh, yeah, our ticket giveaway's coming up relatively soon as well here on Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL.
Vice Admiral Jerome M. Adams, U.S. Surgeon General, has said, "The first step is understanding that opioid use disorder is a chronic but treatable brain disease and not a moral failing or character flaw. Like many other chronic medical conditions, opioid use disorder is both treatable and in many cases preventable." He goes on, "The way we as a society view and address opioid use disorder must change. Individual lives and the health of our nation depend on it." A message from the Addis Board of Lorain County.